Time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We're going to have an abbreviated show for the day today, and we're going to have our first guest on here momentarily, so let's go ahead and just bring him on right now. We're bringing on IU Kokomo Athletic Director Greg Cooper. Greg, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How's everybody over there doing? It's a pretty good day for us, I would say.
Yeah, everything's going pretty well so far. But as we were talking a while ago, it's a little on the dark side, and we're supposed to get a few things today. So as long as it isn't the snow we got the other night, I don't care.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long have you been the athletic director over there at IUK?
So this is year six for me. I came in June of 15, so just finishing up my first half of the decade, if you will.
So how have things been going for you over there?
You know, it's a good time. I was just talking with someone last night that the culmination of a very weird year is happening a lot this week, and we have a lot of teams finishing up conference play and conference tournaments taking place this weekend. Volleyball teams heading out to the national championship here in a few hours. They're leaving to head out to Iowa. It's been a very weird but fun year, and it's all culminating right now. So there's a lot of moving parts or a lot of exciting things happening.
And of course, your volleyball team is coached by Heather Hayes, who was here and still lives here in Frankfort. And I've had her on the show once or twice. And, you know, and Eric Eckelbarger, who's a Frankfort grad, is also your basketball coach over there. So You guys have got some really good ties to this area.
Absolutely. And I think I've seen a few hot dogs on campus lately, too, in the recruiting circuit. So
okay.
I think it's also been a good recruiting opportunity for us.
Also, but you're more than just an AD, aren't you? You got a lot of other irons in the fire as well.
The fun part of small college athletics is you definitely get to do a lot of different things. And that's really where I've made my bread and butter, is I enjoy doing everything, but not micromanaging by any means. So, you know, for me, my favorite part of the job is getting to know the student athletes, seeing them succeed and seeing them develop in their time here. And then obviously that culmination of graduation at the end. But there's a lot of development. There's a lot of facility management, behind the scenes work, compliance, eligibility is a big part of the job nowadays. And we've grown immensely. So there's been numerous challenges with the external relations and community relations, and then the typical, I also teach on campus as well.
Okay. Also, but also you do a lot with recreation, and I know you got a recreation facility over there that it's yours to take care of, and also you do a lot of fundraising, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. The development side of the job has been a new area. If you think about such a young program, this is we're finishing up our 10th year of existence for IU Kokomo Athletics. So having very young and almost non-existent alumni in some of our programs that are our newer sports that we've added over the last 6 years of my tenure. And so that relationship building, the alumni engagement, making sure they understand that it wasn't just a four-year, two-year, one-year transaction with us. We want them to be a part of us for the rest of their lives. That's a big part of it. The recreation side is fun. Unfortunately, with COVID, we haven't really been able to do much. Our fitness center is pretty much blank, empty, because besides our student athletes, and then intramurals and club sports and all those other fun student life type things have kind of been non-existent this year. But we really hope to really ramp up here over the next 6 to 8 months going into the fall. And then we have our new event center as well, our new gym on campus. And we really haven't had a chance to use it to its full potential and what it was intended for at all this year. So those are all little things that are responsibilities under my resume, under my job description, if you will, but they're all things that have a lot of room for growth as well.
Now, how many varsity sports have you guys got?
So this, in year 10, we started with just two in the initial year in 2011-2012, which was volleyball and men's basketball. So the two Frankfort alums are the heads of those programs. And then now we're up to 14 varsity sports, and we're already talking about what's next. We have the largest, in terms of number of student athletes, of all the five regional campuses among the IU system. And we have just the second most sports, but once we add one or two more here over the next couple of years that we're talking about, we'll definitely have the largest department by far.
What kind of sports are you thinking about adding?
We talk about everything. I mean, it's community connection. So obviously softball in this area is very, very popular. We've been talking about that since the day I set foot on campus. It, we're talking about it again now, and we'll see kind of where that conversation goes. There's no guarantees in any of this. It's just, hey, what is popular in this area? What could we be successful in? What helps the university as well? Because there's obviously bottom line impacts of these decisions for enrollment and retention and those types of things. We're talking about a variety of things, including men's tennis. We've talked about that. We've talked about non-traditional sports that you don't think naturally associate with college. So bowling, esports, those areas are very popular in the greater, you know, north central Indiana area, especially the bowling and esports, because they're all, you know, the bowling is in every high school. I didn't realize how popular it was, but it's also very, very fast growing sport at the college level.
You know, I was kind of surprised, and I didn't know how much until I started diving into it, but esports is really growing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's almost growing too fast, I think, for its own good. You know, some of the schools that I've reached out to, how are you guys doing? How have you started the programs? What all games have you played? Because you got to think of it, each game is like its own individual sport. Just because you play volleyball doesn't mean you're going to play baseball. And that's how you got to think of the esports world. So it's very unique, and you got to know your market. But I know some schools that have over 100 students on their in their program, and I know some schools that only, you know, started 5, 6, 7 years ago and still only have 10. So it's you got to be very careful with how you do it. But it can be very, very successful, and it's a new market that translates naturally to college degrees. You know, information technology, computer science, those types of areas are natural transitions. So you get these kids in that find something they really want to do. It relates well to the academic side of the house. And it's a win-win for colleges.
Now, do you view esports as a varsity sport or as a club sport?
If we did it here, my mentality is we're either going to do it right or we're not going to do it at all. So with how our university is set up, the only way I can see it being successful is if it was run like a varsity sport, and that's how we would treat it.
Okay.
Because I'm the one who's kind of proposed the idea. Again, I don't know if it's ever going to come. Everything I'm saying today is I don't know. These are just discussions that we have. But yes, absolutely a varsity sport. Want to treat it with possible scholarships, hold them to the same expectations that I would any one of my teams from academic standpoint and eligibility standpoint, as well as behavioral and engagement in the community, all those things.
It also appears from what I'm looking at, because I've got kind of a bio here in front of me, club sports is also a big thing for you guys over there, isn't it?
Well, it's not actually on our campus. It's something that I really want to get into, and the timing just has been right. We were real close to starting before COVID hit. We were in discussions about adding a position that would focus solely on the campus recreation world. There's a lot of data, and I don't want to bore anybody that's listening to your show here, but the general student population, especially among white males, I know this is really weird, but you'll get great retention of those students and huge engagement from those students. And so what it does is, if you think about higher ed, most colleges in this country are about 60% female. So you're short on the, you know, your goal is to be somewhere in the 50-50 range at the end of the day. And so that's what it does, is it brings in potential more males, and it helps retain them because it gives them something to get excited about. And all it is these students create a team. So we don't have men's soccer at IUK. So let's have a men's soccer club team. And so they lead it. They recruit their own, you know, teammates from campus or from, you know, their high schools, and encourage them to come to IUK. And we help facilitate an opportunity for them to compete. They do their own fundraising. It's a leadership opportunity for them, as well as it ties in well with sport management and other things like that. We have a hospitality and tourism major as well. So there's great tie-ins there as well for the sport tourism world.
Also, you have a pretty good sized kinesiology department, don't you?
Yeah, it's actually been growing quite a bit between, like I said, the sport management major. The health sciences is kind of really what we focus a little bit more on. And then we're actually in the process of adding a health and physical education major that I didn't realize we had, both a it would be a degree through the School of Education, but you're working with the school science on, you know, the health science, the health sciences side of it.
How would you view the successes that your athletic program has had?
I mean, if you think of where we are now, from and I'm not going to take a single bit of credit. This goes all to the coaches that I've had the pleasure of hiring. Mm-hmm. Besides, honestly, Heather's about the only one I didn't officially hire, although we changed her employment status as she was still working at Frankfort High School there and coaching for us, but we brought her on full-time as a head coach. But every single other one of the coaches I hired, I hire them and I get out of the way, and they've been unbelievably successful. I mean, if you look at our fourth year with our baseball program right now, and they've had no less than 30 wins every single year of that program so far, and they're on track to get very close to that. We'll see. We lost a few games, so we may fall just short, but we'll get close to that. You have our tennis team just finished second in the conference this year, and they just lost in the conference tournament last night, actually. But that was this their fourth year of existence. We had a national runner-up in our track and field program, just the in indoor, and then he is the conference champion in both shot put and discus. We have a female runner who was just named conference track athlete of the year last night at the conference track meet. Those are both young programs. The track programs are only in their second year. You know, obviously everybody knows about the volleyball success. Both our basketball programs have had a lot of success. Most recently, the men's basketball team the last 2 years, not counting this kind of weird COVID year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't speak highly enough about the success they've had on the court. I mean, and it's all their ability to recruit and maximize what IUK has to offer.
Now, are all your facilities for athletics, are they on campus there, or do you have to go around town to get some things taken care of?
Partnerships are important to us. We only thing we have is our brand new event center. And this year we didn't get to use it very much, honestly, because we had classes in there. So we had some challenges there, but the volleyball team played all of their games in there this year. But there's classes Monday through Friday in there. So they were practicing downtown at our old gym a lot of the time. And then in the evenings, we turn it from a classroom into a gym, and then right after the game back into the classroom. We play tennis at both the Foster Park tennis courts. There's 8 courts there, as well as at the Howard County Tennis Center track. We don't host any home meets, but the track and cross country teams use both the American Legion golf course and the Kokomo High School track. We still obviously have our downtown gym and a municipal stadium. Golf uses the Wildcat golf course. So, I mean, yeah, it's all about the partnerships and those relationships. Absolutely.
What led you to go to IUK?
I was living in Austin, Texas, and every time I tell this story, people kind of laugh at me, like, what the heck are you doing coming to Kokomo? So for me, it was just an opportunity. I'm from Northeast Ohio. My wife is from Cincinnati, and it was an opportunity to get closer to family, mm-hmm. but also build something. I mean, it's really, really unique if you think about Wabash just down the road. Mm-hmm. They've had athletics since the 1800s. You know, you got all these schools with all kinds of history, and this was a brand new athletic department. It was 4 years old when I took over, and it was just a really, really unique. And hasn't been without many challenges, but to build something like that, and it was a great opportunity professionally and personally.
What kind of aspirations you got for the future?
I don't think I'm done here yet. There's a lot of things that we still can do, and there's a lot of opportunities we have. I mean, again, we have so much potential because everything we do is so new and so young. We don't have those established traditions. We don't have those deep pocket alumni that all these other long history schools have, and build that network and those connections and really engage and make Kokomo more of the primary. I feel like a lot of times in the coverage that we get in the views of the community and the region that Kokomo's in here, high school sports are king, without a doubt. And I don't think that's going to change without a lot of time and a lot more work. And I think that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I always am looking. There's no doubt. I wouldn't be lying if I didn't say there's always hey, here's a dream school for me. This is what I would love to do, but I have no D1 aspirations. I'm a small college guy. D2, D3, NAI is just what I've been born and raised into, and it's really what I love.
What is, you know, you guys, of course, are NAIA, and of course, you always hear about what's going on with the NCAA as far as transfer portal, NIL, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that stuff trickles down to your area?
It actually has a huge impact, and And I would, the best example I can give you is honestly, we had a student athlete a few years ago who was a great, great player for us. And an NCAA school came in and swooped them up and they went on to a D1 career, and have had a great career there. We've also had players drafted, and so we're getting high level talent here. And I think actually the transfer market is very similar in the NAI. Kids transfer all the time. I'd say we retain about 90% of our students. So every year we're losing 10% to either just quitting and staying at IEK or quitting and moving on to some other opportunity. So for us, we do look at other schools. If you look at a lot of our rosters, we don't have as many transfers as some programs do. Cause a lot of that comes down to finances and the scholarship packages and, you know, financial aid and those things. For schools at our level versus, you know, D1 teams, they have, requirements to have full scholarships in basketball and volleyball and things like that. So it's a little bit different in how you make an attractive package to a transfer student versus a 4-year, straight out of high school kid. But also having those in-state connections, there's a lot of advantages being a state school because of the 21st century program that all the high school kids are eligible for at a certain socioeconomic level. We try to take advantage of those opportunities. We go after those kids hard. And so the transfer market's just, if they go, let's say they went out of state and then they want to come back to Indiana, well, we're way more lucrative and attractive to them if they were eligible for one of those programs than going to a private school.
You know, it amazed me that how many NAIA schools are actually in the state of Indiana. What is there, about 8 or 10 at least?
Oh, there's way more than that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've had some change too. So, our conference has, there's the five IU campuses. There's the, conference that Indiana Wesleyan and Marion and Taylor are in. There's a lot here in Indiana there. There's some schools up near Chicago Market. There's at least 15, 20 just in the state. And it's really weird here. I grew up in Ohio that has practically no NAIA schools. It was all D3 or D1. That's all it had.
Mm-hmm.
So when I grew up, in Northeast Ohio, NAIA schools were looked down on very much. Like, you didn't go to an NAIA school. But you come over here and it's the complete opposite. NAIA is king over here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting dynamic just one state away.
You know, another thing, it's interesting because I used to coach over in Illinois in the junior college level. Junior colleges are big in Illinois, but they're not big in this state.
They're practically non-existent.
That's exactly.
That's
about it.
Who am I missing?
And then
who's the one just north there? I'm missing.
Oh.
Up in Rochester.
Yeah.
And Scylla, there we go. And Scylla and Vincennes are about the only, ones that have athletics in the entire state.
So we
do recruit a lot from those Eastern Illinois colleges. If you look at our baseball roster and basketball roster, a lot of our transfers are coming from those schools over there.
You know, it's just like, NAIA is king here and junior college is king in Illinois, and to some degree, so in Elwood, Ohio as well.
Yeah, there's not as many junior colleges over there either, but it's different because Indiana has the Ivy Tech system, so it's a unique system, design here compared to, our neighboring states.
Okay. Greg, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, I appreciate your time. I hope we can get some more support from our hot dog friends down there.
We will do what we'll do what we can do down here to help you guys out, okay?
Absolutely. Anytime there's a good kid on the market, let us know, and I'm sure they're on Eric and Heather's radar, but let's put them on other people's radar because that connection is important for us. You guys are a breeding ground for good talent over there.
Yeah, we appreciate that, and you take good care, and we'll talk to you a little bit further down the line, okay?
All right. Take care. Good luck.
Thanks, Greg. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Greg Cooper, who is the athletic director at Elwood IUK. He's been our guest. We're going to take a break right now. We're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good, but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Kent Hartman. Many thanks to our first guest, who is Greg Cooper, the IUK Athletic Director. We're going to have an open line now to the bottom of the hour, because we're only going to be a half hour of program today. So 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. Some news and notes from around the area and around the state. Purdue men's basketball coach Matt Painter has announced that they have Terry Johnson will now join the Boilermakers coaching staff. Johnson comes to Purdue after a successful stint as an assistant coach at Ohio State. In his 4 years at Ohio State, Johnson helped transform the Buckeyes into a national power on the court while serving as an outstanding recruiter in Columbus. He arrived in Columbus after 10 seasons as an assistant at Butler, where he helped the Bulldogs to 8 NCAA tournaments, including 4 consecutive Final Fours in 2010 and 2011. Prior to assisting at Butler, Johnson spent the 2006-07 campaign as assistant to Dane Fife's staff at Purdue. Fort Wayne. Of course, Dane is now one of the assistant coaches down at IU and served as director of basketball operations at Butler for 2 seasons. Johnson also served in an administrative capacity at Auburn in 2003 and 4 and had stops as an assistant coach at Lincoln Trail Junior College, Indiana Tech, and IPFW. So Terry Johnson now joins the staff at Purdue as he replaces Micah Shrewsbury, who took the job at Penn State. Another recruit has joined Matt Painter's squad for next year, like father, like son, Brian Waddle. Will follow his father's footsteps and play basketball at Purdue. The Carmel standout announced his commitment to the Boilermakers on Wednesday. Matt Waddle played for Purdue under Coach Gene Cady from 1992 to 1995. Brian was offered a scholarship from Purdue a little over 2 weeks ago after leading the Greyhounds to a Class 4A state championship victory over Lawrence North. The 6'7" forward averaged 15.8 points and 6.4 rebounds a game as a senior. Waddell's only Power 5 offer came from the Boilermakers. He also had offers from Miami of Ohio, Indiana State, Wright State, Incarnate Word, and Canisius. Waddell joins Caleb First and Trey Kaufman-Wren in Purdue's incoming freshman class. First and Kaufman-Wren also won state titles as well. So Brian Waddell is joining Purdue basketball for next year. Looking at the looking at the IU Hoosiers for a second because they made a little noise this week. As former Northwestern wing Miller Kopp, who's one of the best shooters in the NCAA transfer portal, told ESPN he's committed to play at Indiana for next year. Kopp averaged 11.3 points and 3.1 rebounds per game last season for the Wildcats. He's listed as a junior for last season. Will have 2 years of college eligibility remaining. He picked IU from a list of offers that included Oregon State, Texas A&M, Utah, USC, Creighton, South Carolina, New Mexico, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Wichita State, DePaul, Oklahoma State, and Xavier. A 6'7" forward with a strong frame, Kopp converted 98 three-pointers in 54 games over the past two seasons, hitting 87% of his free throws. Over that span, he's a highly effective shooter off screens, but is capable of operating on a pick-and-roll and making jumpers and pulling off the dribble, and he expects his role to be a lot different than it was when he was at Northwestern. New head coach Mike Woodson hasn't wasted any time mourning the Hoosiers after being hired off the New York Knicks bench 3 weeks ago. He's able to convince Big Ten All-Conference second-team member Trace Jackson Davis to return for his junior season within days of his hire, along with veterans Race Thompson and Parker Stewart. Also now one of the top point guards in the country in the transfer portal in Pittsburgh's Xavier Johnson. And then earlier this week, he secured the commitment of one of the top available high school players in Tamar Bates, a two-way wing with impressive shot-making prowess who could decommit from Texas after the departure of Shaka Smart, who's now the coach up at Marquette. Baseball for you. Indianapolis Indians have announced that the Marion County Public Health has approved the team's plan to operate at 25% capacity at Victory Field through the end of May. The team says the games will be held with health and safety protocols in place, including mask wearing. At 25% capacity, the team says Victory Field can accommodate 3,450 fans per game. The team also says that single-game tickets for their six-game homestand against Toledo will go on sale to the public on April the 28th. New rule change for college football, which is going to impact some things, as they will now have to attempt to a two-point conversion after a touchdown in the second overtime period of games rather than the third. That's a rule change Thursday by the Playing Rules Oversight Panel. NCAA Football Rules Committee last month recommended the change as part of an attempt to limit plays and in-game sooner. Teams will still have to option up having an extra point or go for two after touchdowns in the first overtime session. Stanford coach David Shaw, who is the chair of the Rules Committee, told ESPN in March that the 7-overtime game between Texas A&M and LSU in 2018, which the Aggies won 74-72, prompted discussion of the overtime rule changes. And they also had a game this year with UCLA, which went to the second overtime, where UCLA coach Chip Kelly went for two after the end of second overtime, and which wound up in a Stanford win 48-47. If a game enters the third overtime session, teams will alternate two-point conversion attempts until the winner is determined. Previously, teams had started at the possession of their opponent's 25-yard line for the first four overtime sessions before going to alternate two-point plays in the fifth session. Other changes approved include permanently extending sideline team areas to the 20-yard line rather than the 25, and including video board and lighting system operators who among those prohibited from creating distractions that obstruct play. Penalizing taunting will be a point of emphasis for officials during the 21-21 season. I can bet that's going to be a lot of fun. Coaches who leave the team areas and interfere to debate officials' calls will be receiving unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. Playing Rules Oversight Committee also supported a Rules Committee proposal that would allow schools or leagues to request post-game interview reviews after feigning injury. So that's the changes for college football coming up this fall. And one last thing, believe it or not, we have another college championship as the FCS playoffs get ready to start today. There's going to be 8 games or 16 teams. That's down from the one that's been in the past. But they start today. You have the first round games today are Monmouth at Sam Houston, Davidson at Jacksonville State, VMI at James Madison, Holy Cross at South Dakota State, who is the top seed for this, by the way. Eastern Washington is at North Dakota State. Missouri State is at North Dakota. Southern Illinois at Weber State. And Sacred Heart is at Delaware. Those are the teams that are in it. Those are the qualifiers for the 16-team FCS National Championship thing. It'll be culminated down at Frisco, Texas on May. Semifinals are on May 8th. Championship game set for May 16th, and all games, will be aired on the ESPN Family Networks with the title game on ABC at 2 o'clock. That's going to wrap it up for our show today. Many thanks to our first guest, who was Brian, our only guest this week, who was Greg Cooper, the AD at IUK, So until next week, this is Ken Hartman. Take good care of yourself, and we will see you next week on Inside the Huddle.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper of State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.